Would you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy? We're going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we continue our series on love in the Old Testament. Love in the Old Testament. You might ask the question, well, why is it important? We already have the New Testament, tells about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we take time to go through the Old Testament and highlight that particular theme? Well, first of all, you cannot have a New Testament without having the foundation of the Old Testament. You cannot fully understand the love that is expressed through Jesus Christ without seeing its foundation in the Old Testament. And let's be honest. There have been many detractors who have looked at the Old Testament and said, that's a mean God in the Old Testament. Boy, look at all the people that He killed and going into the land of the Palestine and killing all those people that were there. And that's not love. But in fact, in reality, it is love. We have to understand God's love if we're going to have a full and truthful definition of what love is. Is it love? I'll just give you an illustration from nature. Is it love to try to keep a horse alive that's crushed its leg? I'll never forget about 15 years ago, I was coming home from work. And there in the middle of the road, on Northrop Road, was a horse standing there with its front leg dangling, crushed. He had been hit by a pickup truck. The pickup truck was sitting off to the side. It had been pushed off into the brush. And there was a man that was trying to hold the horse up. All right? Whenever I got out, I stopped my truck in the middle of the road, put on my hazard lights to try to keep people from trying to go through there as the horse was there. And several of us men got... And we pushed the horse over to the side, and it was moaning and groaning in pain. I've never really experienced that before in a large animal like that. And so the owner came out. It was a young girl, 19 years of age, and she started crying uncontrollably, sobbing. And we began to talk among ourselves, what are we going to do? So we called the police, 911. They called the Northwest Florida big animal clinic. They came out and they told the girl, said, we've got to put him down. And she said, no, we'll take him to the vet. I said, I am the vet. You cannot repair the damage done to this animal. You must put it down. It's suffering terribly. And she argued on and off for the next 30 minutes with that doctor. And so he waited until the father got there. And he said, honey, I know you love this horse, but you have to understand that that horse is suffering terribly. And so several of the men took the horse down, they laid it down on its side, and they administered the medication, and within a few minutes, the horse was gone. Now, many would say, oh, that's terrible, that's horrible. What's the alternative? Suffering and anguish, that bone's never going to heal. Those bones will never support that horse ever again. He'd never be able to run. He would never be able to, and would live with pain the rest of its days here upon the earth. The loving action would be to relieve that pain and take him out of that pain because he's an animal. I think sometimes that love gets skewed into simply an emotional response. But love in the Old Testament, we talked about the word havab, the Hebrew word. It means love and much more. And it's the word that's used exclusively in the book of Deuteronomy over and over again. Deuteronomy is known as the second giving of the law. And most people just hone in on that. But over and over again throughout the book is the mention of love, havab. Let's look at it for just a moment. Look at chapter 5 for just a few moments, beginning at verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Now here we have the second giving of the law. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy. Now notice what goes on to say here. He talks about, yes, the punishment, the chastisement that comes for those that hate him. But notice what he says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Look down at verse 29 of this same passage. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And then he goes on in the next chapter to continue to clarify. Notice verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them what? Not simply the commands of the Word of God, but to love God. You know, you have to teach children to love animals, right? You have to teach children to love animals. They have to learn that animals have to be fed on a regular schedule. They have to take care of those animals. It's not enough to just simply pet them and say, okay, go away. You got to take care of them. You got to tend to them. And, you know, there are people, I read in the paper, almost on a regular basis, people that are arrested for animal mistreatment. Now, that burns me up. Okay, I'll just be honest with you. That angers me. I remember we had a boy in my class that was arrested for animal cruelty because he was found doing something horrible to an animal with a bat. And they arrested him. And I'll never forget that, what he went through. And finally, he was released after his parents paid a fee. The judge ordered that he paid a fee. And he was required to go work at the Humane Society so he could learn how to take care of animals. He'd already learned how to abuse them. Now, there's something that's not right. You know, it's disturbing, but you know what? A person that would abuse an animal would abuse a human being. Just understand that. Now, what that boy got was some good training, and he changed. He was a different person after that, after he learned what he had done was wrong and the things that he should have been doing all along. Children have to be taught, and children have to be taught how to love God. And you know who their example is? You. I wonder what kind of example we're holding up for our kids. Do they catch it from us? That mom and dad love the Lord Jesus Christ, they love God, and they keep His commandments. That's how they prove their love. That's what we're told here. All Israel was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. These words which I command you are to teach to your children. Very important. Let's go over to chapter 7. Boy, here is a passage of Scripture. Let's begin reading at verse 6 of chapter 7. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord. In other words, you have been separated unto me. You belong to me. You've been separated unto me, thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him. Now notice this, please. The nation didn't get together and vote God in as their leader. You don't find that in here. God says, I chose you. Your ethnic group, the Israelites, I chose you to be my people, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Oh, excuse me, I'm reading down in verse 7. Verse 7 here. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with His mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Now you see, Havab used twice, referring to God's love for them in choosing them, and their response in loving God in return. Now, you remember in our study of Song of Solomon? In verse 3 of chapter 1, we learned that phrase there, that we should love Him. It is right that we should love Him. Now, this is the same concept that you find all the way through Deuteronomy. Let's just kind of take a walk through Deuteronomy tonight. And I want to point this out. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 is another passage that speaks nobly of the love of God and His desire for the children of Israel to love Him in return. Because it's right to love God. Notice verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments alway. Now, you know, some people have a real problem with Deuteronomy 11:1, and this is their problem. Nobody's going to tell me that I should love them. Well, think about that. Let me ask you something. You husbands that are here, do you kind of expect your wife to love you? How about the other way? Women, do you expect your husband to love you? Why? Is it just because you're such a wonderful person? Okay? No, because God commanded it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ has loved the church. And what did He do? And gave Himself for her. Now, there's a picture there of sacrificial love, and that's agape love. And remember, habab in the Hebrew encompasses both Greek words that you find. Most in the Greek Septuagint that translate this passage uses agape in the book of Deuteronomy to explain habab. But habab incorporates both the reason side of love and the emotional side of love. And in the New Testament, you have agape, the reason side of love. He loved us because He willed to love us. And then you have the emotional side, which is pictured by phileo. And by the way, both of those words are used in the book of love, the book of John, to describe God's love for us. Both words are used. So it's pictured here in the book of Deuteronomy. And so here God desires that we should love Him. And you say, well, I could never love somebody that commanded me to love Him. Well, you'd never love Him anyway. Don't you get it? You would never love Him anyway. Because you look at love as simply this, what I can get out of it. Is that what true love's based on it? No. True love is based upon two individuals that sacrifice for each other. Do I hear an amen? That sacrifice for each other. I'll do without so my wife can be happy. Or I'll do without because I want this for my husband. You know, there are just things that come. I'm going to give you an illustration. It's going to make my wife very angry. Okay? But I want to show you the tenderness of love, what she was going to do for me. I had been praying for about a year and a half for hearing aids. All right? And I hate to use myself as an illustration, but I want to share this because I want you to understand what I'm trying to get across to you about our Lord. I had been praying for a year and a half about hearing aids. Hearing aids cost in the neighborhood of $8,000, and we didn't have that kind of money. And so I said, Lord, would You just provide me with hearing aids? And I went to a hearing appointment, found out how bad my hearing was, and my wife said, I could have told you that, you know, how bad it was. And I could, the excuses were getting pretty lame on why I wasn't hearing my wife. So I said, I got to do something about that. My wife went down and had an appraisal done. What was it, the ring? One of her rings to get an appraisal so she could turn it in, get the cash so she could get me hearing aids. Now that's love. Now, she didn't have to do that because God had another plan in place. Hey, Todd. I hear you're looking for hearing aids. I said, yes, how did you find out about it? Well, somebody told me that you had hearing issues. I've got a set of hearing aids that are 2 years old. And the military has given me a brand new set, up-to-date things. I want to give you mine. $8,000 pair of hearing aids. And you know what he said? He said, I've got tons of batteries I'm going to give to you. Those things are expensive. And he said, as long as I'm getting more than enough batteries for one, I'm going to keep giving them to you. I got two brand new packages yesterday. God answered my prayer. But my wife went down to have her rings appraised so that maybe we would use that money to be able to do that. I'm so glad the Lord worked that all out so we wouldn't lose the rings. All right? But you know, that's sacrificial. That's sacrificial. When was the last time you sacrificed anything for someone? Well, we don't have to sacrifice because we've got so much money or this, that, or the other. Let me tell you something. How about sacrificing your time? How about surprising your mate sometime with a meal? You know, those are the kind of things, sacrifice. Sacrifice is at the heart of love. And God said, I set my love on you. Let's go on the rest of this chapter here because this is a beautiful passage here in chapter 11. Look over at verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments. But look over at verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in this due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve over the gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. Think about that. Verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all of these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Do you realize why God sent the children of Israel into captivity? There's a laundry list of all the different things that the Lord points out, but you know what the biggest thing was? They didn't love God. That's what it boils down to. They didn't love God. We had a gentleman that came in, one of our graduates, brokenhearted. His wife left him. I don't know what I'm going to do, he said. I just don't know what I'm going to do. My wife left me. He was picking up material about where to put his kids in school and in the learning center. And my heart went, you know, out to him as Dr. Watt was telling me what was said. Something happened to the love. Right? Something happened to the love. He said, well, he was probably, I don't know what it was, but the marriage vows say for better, for worse. Right? Richer or poorer? Well, we were poorer all the time. We never got to the richer part. It doesn't say if you don't get to the richer part, it's okay, get a divorce. You know what the problem is so many times? There's no sacrifice. No willingness to sacrifice. It's all about me. If I don't get what I should get out of the marriage, then I'm leaving it. I'll move on to somebody else. God help you, you'll never find true love. As long as you think that love is all about you and no sacrifice on your part. The Lord said, if you love me, I'll send you the early and the latter rain. If you love me, I'll drive out your enemies. But if you let your heart pull away from me and you start loving the gods and the idols of the land and the people of the land, then I'm going to send judgment unto you. You see, that's how love works. Love seeks to draw you back when you go away. And there has to be consequences that come. What drew the prodigal son back to his father? Was it just that the servants got 3 square meals a day? No, it was love. Every day that father was going and he stood by the gate looking out over the land. I wonder where my boy is tonight. I wonder what he's doing. Lord, would you bring my boy home? Lord, you know how much I love him. Teach him the lessons that he needs to learn. So he'll come back home. And you know that's exactly what happened. He spent all of his money. And the next thing you know, he's fighting hogs over food. Boy, there's a high point. Getting in a pigsty and having to fight the pigs for the food. And the Bible says he came to himself. And he said, does not my father's servants have plenty to eat? I will go back to my father and I will ask him, literally in the Greek, I will beg him to make me one of his servants. You know why he could say that there in that pigsty? Because love As the father, I believe, pictured there, prays for his son to learn the lesson so he'll come back. That's what separation's all about. When we have to separate from those, it's the whole purpose is, I want to bring them back. But they got to learn some consequences. That's what love does. Love doesn't withhold consequences. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. That's a principle of Scripture. You can't ignore the principles of Scripture and come out on the right side. That boy learned the chastening hand of his choices. Inherent in his choices were all the chastisement and punishments that went with it, and he's down there in the pigsty. But he came to himself. You know what he remembered? It doesn't say this exactly, but it's everywhere in the whole story of the prodigal son. His daddy loved him, and he said, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home where there's some love. By the way, who's pictured there that didn't give him a loving embrace when he got home? The older brother. Hey, I've been here the whole time. I've been serving you the whole time. There's no fatted calf for me. What was the problem with the older brother? He didn't love. That's the whole point. The father received him. He gave him his ring. He gave him his robe. Kill the fatted calf. Bring him back in. This my son was dead. But he's alive and he's back home. And it should have thrilled that older brother. But his older brother was looking for what he could get from the father. The same attitude, by the way, that the prodigal son had when he said, give me of thy substance so I can go away. The older son just never left. He hung around and said, hey, the younger one's gone. Everything else is coming to me. Right? He didn't love. That was his problem. Verse 22 again. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. That was the promise to Israel. How are we going to be able to defeat all those enemies that are bigger than we are? You remember when they sent the spies into the land, what they reported, what they saw? Man, there's giants in the land. How in the world are we going to get victorious? Well, right here, we're told. I'll take care of those that are bigger and mightier than you. But what have you got to do? You got to love me. You got to love me. Because it's right to love me. That's the whole point. It's right that we should love Him. That's the whole point of Song of Solomon. Every one of those verses of the Psalm. The point is this. It's right, daughters of Jerusalem. It's right, all ye virgins of Israel. It's right, the Shulamite says, for me to love Him because He's worthy to be loved. She, of course, was speaking of Solomon, but what's the bigger picture there? Oh, it's right to love God because He first loved us. There's many more passages. We'll look at it at the next time that we're together here. Take you toward the end of the book where it's mentioned several more times. The Lord set His love on Israel, not because she was big and mighty, because she was of the smallest nations. But the Lord just chose to love her. Not that she was loving, not that she was going to return that love, but He chose to love him. Isn't it wonderful that God chose to love us? For God so loved the world that He gave sacrifice His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Who deserves that? I don't. I don't deserve it. But God chose to love me and to give His Son for me. And it was through sacrifice. Don't ever forget that. God's love pictured in the Old Testament is sacrificial love. God's love in the New Testament is sacrificial love. The words tell us so. And we must never forget, in order to have a successful marriage, in order to be able to be successful with our children, we've got to love them. It means sacrificing to love them, to put the time into training and teaching them because you love them. You're not raising chickens, all right? you're raising children. And that takes love. You can boot a chicken off the porch, but you can't boot your kids off the porch. They live there. And they need training. And they need teaching. And what does that require? Sacrificial love. Don't ever forget it. Because that's the kind of love God has for us. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together tonight, seeking to bring out some of the thoughts from the book of Deuteronomy, the book of love, I believe, a book that shares not only the fact that you set your love on Israel, but you said it's right that you should love me because I am God. I'm your creator. I'm your sustainer. I'm the one that's brought you up out of Egypt. I'm the one that has provided for you, sustained you, kept you, the one who is going to defeat your enemies, the one that's going to send you the early and the latter rain. All those things the Israelites had no power over except for the fact that things would go south if they decided to put their love somewhere else. And that's exactly what happened. Lord, you taught us so many things tonight from these simple verses, and I pray that you would teach us more as we seek to understand the love that you have for us pictured in the Old Testament. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.